No problem preaching this morning. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 14. Man, just thankful for the Spirit of God being with us this morning. I tell you what, one of these days we're all going to cut loose in here, and we're going to give God the glory and the honor and the worship that He deserves. Zay is in the choir trying to get us all going. He's waving, wanting y'all to wave back. He's waving at me right now. If we'll follow Zay's lead, we'll all praise the Lord a little more. And I tell you what, we'll give God glory. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Just thankful for the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. And I do want to let you know, or ask you to be praying for me for tonight. I'll be preaching over at Mount Airy First Pentecostal Holiness up in right there in Cana, Mount Airy, right on the line. I do ask you to pray for me about that, and pray for Stephanie. I think she's going to go sing a little bit for them too. So I do just want to invite you to that, and also just to have you to be praying for me for tonight. But as of right now, let's get into the Word of God. No, we can't just yet, because I got to tell one thing. You know, every time I start to tell something, somebody's in trouble. And I'm not going to tell you who is in trouble, but my daughters were with Jaylee over the last couple of days. And we get in the car this morning, and man, Addie, God blessed her with a gift of a heart. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to describe it. God's got something really special in store for all three of my children, but I'm talking about Addie this morning. So Addie, she's got a heart as big as this piano right here. I mean, she just cares for people. She cares for anybody that has any kind of need. She just loves people. And we get in the car this morning, and she's encouraging me, and she's talking to me, and man, she just really knows how to pump me up and make me feel really good. And then we were going to get Silas. I had to drive to Hillsville and get Silas this morning. He stayed all night with a friend, and it was just me and Addie in the car. And she said, Dad, she said, who was that preacher that passed away recently? And I started guessing preachers. She said, no, there was a bunch of people at his funeral. And I never could exactly follow her. She said, Billy Graham, that's it. I said, yeah, that's who it was. And she said, well, me and these other two people who I will not name, we're talking about that this week. And said that I told them, I said, I think that one of them said that there will never be another Billy Graham. And my daughter spoke up and said, my dad may be the next Billy Graham. That's the kind of heart my daughter has. And then the people that she was with came to an agreement that her dad was going to be the next Joyce Myers, and that was about it. So that's the kind of church people we have around here. I'm glad I get this vote of confidence. Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and God, we thank you for all that you do for us. God, what a wonderful feeling it is to be in your presence this morning. God, we just want to thank you for meeting here with us. God, I want to thank you for all of our visitors that are here. And God, I'm sure that a lot of them are here to be part of the baptism that we're going to have right after service. And what a joy that is to watch people publicly proclaim that they're Christians and they want to follow you in their walk. But God, I pray, dear Father, as we've all come here this morning, we all have our own needs. God, we all have our own difficulties. We have our own burdens. And God, we all have our own glory and our own praise. And God, I pray that you'll just have your will and your way in this service this morning, God. And God, I pray for the needs that are here, God. I pray that those needs will be met. God, I pray if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that they'll come to know you before it's everlasting too late. God, I pray that you'll help me as I try to preach this morning. It's not about me. It's all about you. I pray that you'll get me and my weaknesses. And I know that I'm going to stutter and stammer and all that. But God, I ask your sweet Holy Spirit just to speak to the lives of the people, God, and to minister to us. Yet, God, that we as Christians will be closer to you than we were when we came, and that sinners may come to know Jesus Christ. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter number 14. Let's begin reading with verse number 25. And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, we know that Jesus is not telling us to literally hate the people around us and to hate our. He's saying, I've got to come before all of those people. Even as much as you love your family and as much as you love the ones that he named here, he said, even before you love them, you have to love me first. Verse number 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. For just a few minutes, maybe just a little slower, and it's going to be a hard thing to do because God's really moving in our service, but maybe a little slower pace this morning because I want to talk to you about a few things. And one thing that I want, the main idea that I want us to look at this morning, is I want you to count the cost. The Bible tells us here, he says, what man, when he sitteth down to build a tower, doth not take into consideration the cost that it's going to take to build this tower, that after he get the foundation laid and he begin to build the tower, and then the finances run out and he no longer has the means to finish the tower, that everybody looks and said, this man started something that he could not finish. And I'm afraid that we're living in a day and a time that people start a whole lot of things that they never finish. And I want us to encourage you this morning, and I want to try to help us for just a few minutes. And God had to really speak to my heart as I was studying this lesson. This is not what I wanted to preach on this morning. I wanted to preach a glory, hallelujah, baptism message. But this is not what where God led us. This is in Luke chapter number 14 is where God led us this morning. And as we're looking at this scripture this morning, and I'm asking you to count the cost, I want us to look at some decisions that we need to count the cost in. You know, every single day, we all count the cost of our decisions. I tell my children a whole lot of times, when it comes time to make a decision, you have to know that there is a consequence for your decision. The consequence can be good or the consequence can be bad. You have to decide whether it's worth it to make this decision. Is it going to be okay? Am I willing to accept the consequence or the cost of my decision? Probably shouldn't say this preaching, but I'll say it because I want you to know that I teach my kids to be strong. I teach them to try to love everyone. But one of my children was having a hard time at the beginning of the school year this year and felt like they were being bullied. Violence is never the answer, but sometimes you have to stand up too. The Bible teaches us to stand strong. And one of my children was having a tough time with a bully, and they come to me and said, Dad, I don't know what to do. I said, well, look, I said, there's going to come a time and a place where you may have to stand up for yourself. There's going to come a time and a place where you have to take action on your own. And when it gets to that place, I want you to draw a bullseye right here. And that's where you go. If they can't see you, they can't do nothing back. And that makes your eyes water pretty quick. And I said, but realize that if it comes to that, that there's going to be a consequence, there's going to be a cost of that decision. And you're going to have to make the choice of whether the consequence and the cost of your action is worth it. Just know that you're going to end up in the principal's office. Just know that you're going to end up in trouble. Just know that everybody else is going to say that you did something wrong. And I said, and just know that your dad is going to sit in front of everybody else and say that you did something wrong. Then I'm going to give you a high five when we get in the car. I said, there's going to be a consequence that comes along with that. And you just have to realize whether the consequence is worth the decision or not. And you know, day in and day out, we all make hundreds of choices. And a lot of these choices we make subconsciously. We weigh the cost out. We say, is it worth it? Is it okay? Am I willing to accept the consequence of what's going on? You get in your car in the mornings and you look and you say, should I put gas in my car today or not? And subconsciously, you start weighing out the cost. If I put gas in my car, I'll be able to continue to go, or I've got enough gas. Or if I don't put gas in my car, I'll be like my preacher has been several times lately and on the side of the road without gas. My gas gauge quit working, so I'm making some bad decisions on that. There is a cost that comes along with that. Do I get out of bed today? What do I wear today? Am I going to do my homework? Those are all choices that people are making day in and day out, and you may not realize it, but you're weighing the cost out subconsciously when you start looking at that, and whether you decide to do or not to do those things, you are making choices. And those are simple things that we do day in and day out. But there's some more heavy choices that we make from time to time. Now listen, to the ones of you that were here on Wednesday night and the ones that watched our Facebook live post, if you weren't able to be here in person, you have already heard this example, but I want to give you an example of what I did this week. This past week, I made a choice, and now there's some consequences for that choice that I made. Hey, you say that and everybody perks up. Everybody wants to know what the preacher did. But this week, my wife had a headlight that was out in her car. And I told her, I said, look, I got to go to Hillsville and get Silas. You got to take Maggie to basketball practice. I'll go get Silas. It's daylight. There's no possible way that anybody will notice that the headlight's out. I won't get no ticket or anything like that. And when I get back home, I will change out the headlight. And me and mechanicin don't go along, so I had to YouTube it and everything else just to see how to do that. So I'm going up 77 on my way to Hillsville to get Silas, and I'm headed northbound, and I look, and I can see there's an F-150 in Hillsville that is their police vehicle, and I see him going south, and we pass each other, and I see him cut through, and everything's fine and dandy, but I'm a mirror watcher. Anytime that law enforcement gets behind me, I do, and I'm usually not doing anything wrong. So I'm a mirror watcher. So as I go through and I see him, you know, and he's just kind of working through traffic like I am. And I go off exit 14 and I stop at the stoplight and everything's good. And again, I'm still checking a little bit. And I turn left. And as I turn left, he lights me up. I'm like, what in the world? I don't even have my headlights on. He cannot tell that I have a headlight burnout. He walks up to the car. I need to see your license and registration. So I reach and get my license and registration. I hand them to him. He said, do you know what I pulled you for? I didn't want to say anything about the headlight, so I said, no, sir, I don't have a clue. He said, well, did you know that you got two brake lights out? Really? Two brake lights? This is going to come back into play a little later, but see, I made a choice to drive the car. I made a choice, and I said, you go this way, and I'm going to go that way, and there was a consequence that came along with that, even though that I didn't really know what all choices that I was making. I didn't really understand what all the consequences were going to be, but every single day we make choices. And I want to talk to us this morning about a couple of more serious choices that we're all going to make. And I know this is not digging into God's Word this morning, but I think it is so relevant to where we live at today. I think it is so relevant to what's going on in our lives. And if we're not careful, you can get on your holy high horse if you want to. You want to say, oh no, this is never going to affect me. But you let your guard down for just a minute, and any of these things can come into your life really quickly. But this week, or in the next few months, or in the next time period in your life, see, Alan was teaching this morning how that Satan told, or that God came and told Peter that Satan had desired him, and he had desired to sift him as wheat. And if you're here this morning and you're living for Jesus Christ, Satan desires to sift you. He desires to tear you apart so that you can't have influence on anyone else. But in the next time period in your life, there may be some men in our sanctuary this morning that you're going to have an opportunity to be unfaithful to your wife. There may be some married men in our sanctuary this morning that in the next time period of your life that you're going to have an opportunity to be unfaithful. And some of you that are on up in years, if you look back, you could say, those opportunities have already came to me. I've seen those opportunities. Some of you young men, maybe you haven't faced that yet, but sometime in your life, you're going to have an opportunity to be unfaithful to your wife. Now, before the ladies get too happy about where I'm going with this, ladies, there's going to be some of you that in the next time period of your life, there's going to be an opportunity for you to be unfaithful to your husband. And you know, we'll begin to weigh those choices out, and we'll begin to rationalize our decision-making process, and we'll begin to think about what's going on in our life. And you know, a lot of times, the men, we might begin to think, well, my wife just doesn't appreciate everything that I do. I get up and I go to work every day and I provide and I put finances in the bank. And well, one thing, I don't do a whole lot. God allows me to do a whole lot. But when I think I do all of this amazing stuff and that, you know what, I'm just doing what God instructed me to do. God instructed me to be the caretaker of my home and the leader of my home, and I'm only doing what God instructed. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm the same way. When I come home from work, I expect my wife to come running. I mean, with just her arms wide. She's not here this morning, so I can preach freely. I expect my wife to come running, I mean, with a plate of supper in her hand and just in her nicest wear of whatever kind and just, oh, just crazy because I went to work all day. But you know what I usually get? I'm so glad to see you. We got to get here. Get the trash, get this. And I'm like, wait a minute, woman. I've worked all day. What the world? Y'all can tell she ain't here too, can't you? And we get to where well, my wife just doesn't appreciate me anymore. My wife isn't crazy about me anymore. You know, I remember used to when Autumn and I were first married and even while we were dating that I didn't go anywhere that she wasn't locked on to me. She held on to my arm everywhere that we went. And now usually we got two or three kids in between us and carrying ball bags and everything else. And that romance is not always there like it should be. And then some of us men, we might just get the attitude, you know what? This opportunity that I have, I'm going to be just a little bit blunt. This lady is just smoking hot. I go home, my wife's in her jogging. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about in general. My wife's in her jogging breeches and her sweatshirt and hair ain't been combed in 2 days. And I ain't real sure she brushed her teeth this morning. And here this lady is at the office and she's dressed to the nines. Man, I can't believe that she would even flirt with me. You know, that's the way a lot of it starts out. And we begin a decision-making process. But you know what? If you're not careful, ladies, some of you might begin to think, you know what? My husband doesn't love me like he used to. I like preaching about the wives a lot better than the husbands. My husband doesn't love me like he used to. He doesn't want to talk to me. He wants to sit and he wants to watch TV in the evenings. If it wasn't for DirecTV so that I could pause the show that I'm watching while Autumn's telling me something, I'd miss everything. If it wasn't for that little genie thing, that's Dish, whatever this one's called. My husband doesn't love me like he used to. My husband is not emotionally in tune with me anymore. It's been a long time since anybody made me feel this way. And you know what? We begin a decision-making process and we begin to think and we're seeing one side of the fence and we're seeing how good everything looks over here. I want to remind you of a little saying that I seen one time. If the grass looks greener on the other side, it still has to be mowed. You can take off with this lady if you want to, but I guarantee in about a year, you're going to come home and she's going to be in jogging breeches and a sweatshirt. She don't dress like that at home more than likely. And if we're not careful, we get to the place to where we're in a decision-making process and we're weighing the cause. Well, I want to give you the other side to that. When we get to the place where we're beginning to think like that, and maybe you as a man have an opportunity to be unfaithful to your wife, or you as a wife have an opportunity to be unfaithful to your husband, I want you to think back to a time when you stood before her, and you stood before witnesses, and you stood before some kind of clergy of some kind, and you stood before God, and you made a vow saying, I'm going to love you until the day that I die. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to stand behind you in good times and in bad times, when you are dressed to the nines and when you're in your jogging breeches. When I'm happy or when I'm sad, I want her to love me. I want you to realize that you made a vow unto God and you made a vow in before other witnesses and you had people sign on a piece of paper saying, I witnessed these vows. And I want you to know that we made a vow saying I'm going to be there. And when you got to be careful because you begin this decision-making process, you got to be willing to accept the consequences. There's consequences that come with everything. There's consequences of breaking a vow to God. There's a consequence if you have children. These children sitting and saying, what happened? Why did my parents who seemed so happy and loved each other, why are they now separate? Why are they now, is it my fault? There's consequences that come with those decisions. And all I'm asking you to do this morning is I'm not being derogatory towards anyone or any circumstance or anything, but I want you to be sure that you count that cost. Because if you're not careful, you need to know the answer to that question before the question is ever asked. You need to know that I don't care what she looks like. I don't care what he says to me. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. I promise God, I promise my husband or my wife that I was going to be faithful to them. I'm not going to put my kids through this. I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to be what I should be. And I promise you that decision-making process goes a whole lot easier. Some have made choices. Some you will have an opportunity to make a choice that's going to lead you to some bad places in your life. There are people this morning who have made choices that have already led to addiction. There are people that are sitting in our congregation this morning that this week you may have an opportunity to make choices that will affect the rest of your life, that will either greatly improve the rest of your days or that will greatly hinder the rest of the time that you have here on this earth. There are people this morning that are going to make decisions of whether or not they're going to let drugs come into their life, whether they're going to let pornography come into their life, whether they're going to let anything that this world has to offer, whether they're going to let alcohol rule their life. You got all of these decisions that you're going to make, But I want you to know that you can make any decision that you want to, and this world will paint a beautiful picture to you. It'll say, well, you can fit in more. You'll be more successful. You'll have more friends if you just go and you do this. You'll be able to be a better person or whatever. But I want you to know that Satan never shows you the other side of that. Satan never shows you where this stuff breaks up people's families. Satan never shows you the guy that now has an addiction that he can't get away from, that he would love to quit, that he is so sick and tired of it having chains on him, and he can't seem to get away from it. Satan never shows you that side of it. He always shows this beautiful side. I want you to know this morning that when that decision comes in your life, when that choice comes in your life, when it comes to the place to where I've got to make, you need to already have your mind made up. I'm walking with God. I'm staying with God. I'm not going that direction. And that choice then becomes easier. You got to be in a place to where you already know your choice before the opportunity comes along. You got to already know the answer to that. Because you're going to end up, and if it's all said and done, you're going to end up in a life of sin and shame and reproach and guilt without fellowship with Christian people, and where you don't fit in with people of the world any longer. As a Christian, have you ever been backslid on God? Have you ever been in a place where you wasn't walking with God? And when you got to that place, you knew that you didn't fit in the world. You knew that you wasn't supposed to be there. And when you got around Christian people, you didn't feel like you felt fit in there either. And you felt like, well, here I am, I'm all alone. I can't go back to church because those people are going to judge me. Heaven help us if we do. And I can't go out in the world because those people know that I'm not supposed to be there. And you get to a place to where you're all alone. You better know how to count the cost of those choices. Today, before the end of this service, you're going to make a choice. I want you to count the cost of your choice. The Bible says here, what man starts to build a tower and don't count the cost? Before we end this service today, I'm going to give an invitation. And you're going to have an opportunity to make a choice. I don't know what the need is in your life. Neither do you know the need that's in my life. None of us know each other. Only God knows our heart. And before we end this service today, you're going to have an opportunity to make a choice. And I want to ask you this morning, will you please just weigh the cost of your choice? There may be someone here this morning that the choice is, do I need to get saved? Do I know without a doubt in my mind that I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior? Have I asked Him for forgiveness of my sins? Do I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And you're going to weigh the cost of that. You're going to weigh the cost of, no, I'm not going up there in front of all those people. I'm not ready to get my life right. I'm not ready to get saved. I'm not ready to quit doing the things that I'm doing. I want you to know something, that if you get saved and you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that those things that God instructs us not to do, He'll fill your life with something else where those things are not as important anymore. He'll fill you with other things where you're not thinking about that all the time. Do I have to rededicate my life today? Do I know that I'm saved, but I'm living in a place to where I shouldn't be living? Am I in a place to where I need to get closer to God, where I need to come back to God because I have walked away? Do I need to surrender something in my life? Or do I finally need that I need God's help because I've tried everything else and it don't work? I've tried every other solution and it's not working. I'm going to ask you to count the cost this morning. Now, I done told you this week that I got a ticket. I don't think the cost of the ticket is but about $30. I'm about done. Hannah, if you will, come on, get us an invitation. You know. The cost of my ticket is about $30. Or either April 13th, I've got a court date. And you know what I'm going to do? I've already got all the bulbs replaced in my car. I'm going to go get a fresh inspection sticker so I can take it in there and show the judge that everything's good and everything's fine and hopefully get this thing thrown out of court and won't even cost me my $30. That's what I hope to do. But see, I know when that court date is, and I've got time. I've got a little time to get everything ready. But I've counted the cost in this, and I know what I'm going to do. But I want you to know that when it comes to a spiritual decision in your life, and if you're here this morning and you're trying to count the cost of, do I need to get saved? Do I need to get my heart right with God? Do I need to surrender something in my life? Do I need help from God? You know what? You don't have your court date. You don't know what day you're going to stand before the judge. I know on April 13th, I'm going to stand before a judge. And I'm going to hand him my ticket, and he's going to read it, and he's going to make a decision one way or the other. But I want to tell you this morning, in your spiritual life, you have no idea when your court date is. You have no, the Bible teaches us that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, that you will stand before God. I want you to count the cost of the decision that you're fixing to make. I want you to know what it's going to cost you. You know what? I can't be good enough. I can't sin less enough. I can't be perfect enough to stand before God and for Him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I can't do enough for Him to say, "Well, I'm going to let you into heaven." You know what I did to be able to stand before God and for Him to give me mercy? Is I accepted what His Son Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's the only thing that's going to make me pure. That's the only thing that's going to give me any kind of rebuttal to my charges against me. But I don't know when that's going to happen. But this morning, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have no argument. You're guilty, just as I was guilty, just as I am guilty without the blood of Jesus Christ. You're going to stand before God. The Bible tells us that He's going to open the books and He's going to begin to look in the Lamb's Book of Life to see if your name is written there. And when your name is not found there, if you've not accepted Christ, He's going to say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There's going to be no more mercy, no more grace. Count the cost this morning. Count the cost. The Bible teaches us in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua says to the children of Israel, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." If God's dealing with your heart this morning, you need to choose today. You need to move today. You need to act today. In Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 3, God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with men." One day, God's going to call you for the last time. It's going to be it. And when God calls you for the last time, and He gives you that last opportunity, see, a lot of people, they got this feeling that, well, when that gets close to when I'm going to die, then I'm going to get things right with God. Well, you tell me when that is, first of all. But other than that, the Bible teaches me that the only time that I can call on God for salvation is when He is speaking to me. You have no guarantee that God's going to speak to you right before you die. And when God calls you for the last time, and He said, "That's it, I'm not speaking anymore, I'm not calling anymore," you have no more opportunity to be saved. If God's speaking to you this morning, don't take the chance. I want you to count the calls now. Is this the last time God's going to speak to you? I don't know. You don't know. Count the cost. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment, I want you to look on the inside of you. Look at the decisions that you've made in your life. Christians, I want to ask you first of all, maybe there's one here in the sanctuary this morning that would just say, "You know what, preacher? As you've been preaching this morning, maybe it don't have anything to do with anything specifically that you've been mentioned, but my life has moved away from God. I'm not walking with God the way that I should. I'm not walking with God the way that I want to. I want to be closer to God. I've counted the cost this morning, and I want today to be a fresh start in my life. I want today to be the day that I said, I'm going to get serious with God, and I'm going to surrender." Would you just lift your hand? Let me pray for you. God sees hands all over the house, hands all over the church. Maybe you're here this morning, you can put them right back down. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. I don't remember a time that I've ever asked Jesus Christ into my heart. Preacher, I'm not going to promise you that I'm coming today. I don't know that I can. I'm nervous. I've never been here before. Or maybe I'm here every Sunday, but this is a big church and I just don't know that I can walk up there. But I am concerned about my soul. I know God's speaking to me. And I want you to pray for me. That whether I can come or not, I want you to pray for me that God just continue to have mercy on me." Would you just put your hand up and let me pray for you? Anywhere in the sanctuary this morning, God sees your hand, you put it right back down. Anywhere else this morning? "Preacher, I'm not sure that I know Jesus Christ as my Savior." Count the cost. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all Your many blessings. God, I thank You for all of the hands that was raised this morning. God, I thank You for the concern. God, I pray that You'll reach down. I pray that You'll touch these people, God. God, I pray that You'll help me, God, that I'll count the cost daily in my life And God, I pray, dear Father, for the ones that you've spoken to this morning, God, give them some courage, give them some strength. Give them that new start, or give them the courage to come and accept you, God. God, I pray that you'll just help us all to count every cost of every decision, and may all of those decisions point us back to you. And in Jesus' name, amen. As you stand to your feet, Hannah's going to sing. If God has spoken to you, you don't need me to tell you that. This altar is open. You come on and get things right with God. You said you wanted a fresh start. You wanted to move closer. I don't know any better place than right here around an altar to come and start over. I don't know anywhere better than right here around this altar to come and say, God, I know that I've messed up. God, I know that my life's not where it's supposed to be. God, I need help. Count the cost of decision. Is your decision going to be to stand right where you're at, or is your decision going to be to come and talk things over with God? Count the cost.
Chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen when nothing can satisfy, and the world leaves you high and dry. Just come to the well, and all who thirst will thirst no more. All who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while. You feel the change in my child when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well.
Thank you for your attendance, for your attention today. Anytime you're around the altar and we begin to close service, you stay until you get done talking to God. That's the most important thing.